Hey, everybody, welcome back to Negro Please Radio. I'm your host, Chris Allen. How's everybody doing? Glad to be back. Man, on this beautiful Friday morning, it's a beautiful fall day here in Rutgersville, Virginia, everybody. The leaves are turning. You know I have old-ass trees in my neighborhood, man. They don't fuck around here. They really don't. Like, fellas or ladies, you ever, you know, when you come home and you just got to take that, when you see a lady take her bra off as soon as she walks through the door, like, ah, yeah, she just lets those puppies go. Ladies, you know that feeling when you look, when you take the bra off after a long day? That's exactly how the trees are in my neighborhood. Like the first sign of fall, these motherfuckers are shedding leaves left and right. Like, thank God, summer's over. Branches out. They are done with the foliage. I love the trees in my neighborhood. These motherfuckers are bald. They are not playing. I'm done being cute for y'all. Naked trees. But as usual, off the top, I want to take the time out to thank each and every last one of you for tuning in, downloading, streaming, and now watching. What's up? Before I get into it, please share the podcast. Tell a friend, enemy, coworker. Tell somebody about my podcast. Go, hey, I think you might like this, or hey, I think you might hate this dude. You should check it out, man. Either you're going to like it or hate it. Either way, people like to feel. Either it's good or bad. I really feel like, I think people like feeling bad. I think people like being pissed off, man. I think people like being mad. Sad, happy is great, but there's something about mad, man, that people really, you know what? Because when you're mad, you can get even more mad. And I think that's weird, but I think that's true. People like to be able to achieve more. So it's like, if I'm happy, you're happy. You know, there's not a lot of things that can make you happier when you're already happy. Yeah, because if I'm happy, if I'm having a great day, like a great day, sex can make it better. Somebody giving me like a house or a car or like a shit ton of money, but that's not going to happen. So yeah, this is like your happiness is limited to how happy you can, because to get happier, it has to get bigger and bigger and bigger. But what's crazy is when you're mad, even the littlest shit can make you even more mad. That is the beauty of anger. You know, if you're happy and then somebody brings you your favorite candy bar, it's not going to push you up to another level. You're like, oh, cool. Man, got a candy bar. So, yeah, it's just like you could already have a shitty day. Like, hey, man, the mechanic called, the transmission's going, is going to cost you $5,000, right? And then if your kid comes downstairs and he's like, oh, I need $3 for a field trip for school, that'll send you over the top, the $3. Or you go downstairs and somebody spills some cereal, that's going to send you over the top. See, that's why anger people, I think people like to be angry more, man. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm the cunt. But yeah, so please tell people about the podcast. I like that anger. I might clip that out. I like the anger, my anger angle. That might be a bit, people. But anyway, let me just jump into it, knock this out before the family gets back, because I have shit to do today. Oops, there you go. Man. So I'll start with my milestone, as I usually do. For those who don't know, we have an 8-year-old son. His name is Miles. And I like to talk about the different things that he's going through. Sometimes it's big, sometimes it's small, sometimes it's nothing. And this week, not much of anything, but y'all know he has ADHD. And he has such a hard time sleeping. Like my wife went and checked on him this morning at 1 o'clock, and he was in there fully dressed reading. I know that sounds crazy to some people, but I was the same way. I vividly remember my first day of first grade. I was up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I was dressed. It was still dark. We didn't go to school until 9:20, and I was up 4 hours early, dressed, ready to go, just sitting on the bed 4 hours ahead of time. Like, where's Dee Dee? Dee Dee is my godmother. She used to pick me up to go to school. And my mom was like, it's 5:30 in the morning, Chris. What are you doing? School is not for another 4 hours. And I was just like, I'll just be ready. And that's the kind of thing that he's into. So it's just really weird having this stuff come to pass. Because I remember being a kid and having my dad sitting on my bed telling me like, hey, son, you know, I know you have trouble sleeping. You got to stop letting your mind get away with you. There's nothing in here. You got to relax. You got to get some sleep. And here I am on the edge of his bed 32 years later doing the same thing. And it's so weird, man, because I hear my voice and I sound like my dad. I look down at my hand, patting my son's back as he's laying in the bed. And I go, that's my dad's hand. I've become my dad. It's very, I don't know. Is surreal the word? It's a odd feeling. I there's so many times I don't feel like me at all. I feel more like my dad than myself. It's very weird. It's mind blowing. I'm sitting here giving this my son advice, and I'm like, shit, now I'm doing it. Now I know what this feels like, you know. But I really got to give my wife a huge shout out, man, because I'm a rock. I am a rock. She has to get up with him so many times because it's like they'll try to wake me up, and I just don't get up. But I've been making an effort to get better at that because that's truly not fair for her to have to get up every single night and try to get him to go back to sleep. So that's something I'm working on. And it's a point of contention in our home. So, look, my marriage ain't perfect, people. It's not. I got a lot of issues. But, see, the thing is, I'm the same way. And I feel so bad for my wife, man, because she has to put up with us two. Because typically, I'll go to bed around 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, sometimes 4, even 5. And I know I have to be up with him for school. So on an average night, I probably get anywhere between 3 to 6 hours a night of sleep. I don't sleep very for very long. I just can't. But so yeah, we've got to figure out how to help him get better sleep. It can be frustrating, and we feel bad for the kid, you know. But he said he feels rested. But you know, as a parent, you just like, this is not how shit should be. But how should shit be? You know, what really is the norm? You know, I get it. There's kids who go to sleep at 9 and they don't get up until 7:30, 8 o'clock. But, hey, we don't have that luxury. Even when he was a baby, he never took naps. So we should have known that something was coming. I was the same way. I don't nap. Yeah, okay, enough of the sleep shit. Sorry. Hopefully that didn't bore people. But I'm fresh off a couple of road trips here. So last Saturday, I got up at 0500. That's 5 a.m. for you fucking civilians who've never seen that hour before. I get up at 0500, drive up to D.C., pick up my young Jewish pal, Alex Castain. We drive all the way up to Newport, Rhode Island. Well, actually, we were in Portsmouth, Rhode Island. It's a town a little bit about 20 miles north. So, but basically Newport, Rhode Island for a comedy festival. But we had a great trip up there. A lot of fun. There is something about driving by New York City, man. Maybe it's just because I'm a comic and I would love to live there. Not now, but it was a dream of mine to live in New York, you know, to pursue comedy. And it's just something about driving by. You know what it is? This is how I look at New York City. It's almost like being in a spaceship and you look out the porthole or whatever you want to call it, and you can just see a whole nother world. It's like, man, there's Mars. It's right there. Or here's this planet. It's right there, man. It's right there. And that's how I feel about New York. When you drive by it, you go, man, it's like a whole nother world. Because, yes, New York is a city, but it has such a rich history. I mean, each borough has its own history. I'm pretty sure they could do an entire class on the history of Brooklyn, Manhattan, the Bronx, Staten, all that shit, man. They could do an entire, like, high school class or college class on each borough. Even the subway system, they could do. They have documentaries on it. They have fucking museums in New York about the MTA and in the subway. But I just love the city, man. You look at it and go, it's changed so much. So many people have lived and died there. And you go, man, this person is over there. This person's over there. It's just something about that city. You go, man, De Niro's over there. You know, Trump lives there. All these famous people have lived there. They walk the streets of New York, and it's right there. It's just, I'm fascinated with the city, as you can tell. I love it. And he's the same way. We're both obsessed with, like, mob shit and the New York mob. I'm like, man, that's the city where fucking Gotti and all those dudes. It's just, I just love it, man. I love that city. But so we get over the GW Bridge, and, man, it's just, look, you vote for who you want to vote for. That's completely fine. But, dude, some of the houses I saw along the freeway with all the Trump shit, it's just like, I saw a dude, he had this huge, it was like a Hollywood sign. I mean, these letters had to be 10 feet tall across his yard. Trump, big-ass American flag, Italian flag, keep America great. His neighbor had a big inflatable head. It's just like, dude, this is ridiculous. Again, I don't care who you vote for, but I would not want to live anywhere near these people, man. This is obnoxious. Even the guy we saw in New Rochelle with the big fuck Trump, fuck this, vote for this. I mean, their houses are covered in political paraphernalia, signage, garbage, trash. It's just, it's insane. I'm pretty sure you've seen those people like in your neighborhood or like in a neighborhood, and they have like 10,000 bird baths, or they'll have like a bunch of little gnomes or like garden frogs and or statues, like shit. Like that's exactly what it was like. It's like, it's ridiculous. This is an eyesore. It's fucking insane. I can't wait for this shit to be over, man. It's just people are that mad and that frustrated, but I'll get into that shit later. But we get up there, beautiful drive. I gotta admit, man, New England is it's beautiful, man. Newport is a picturesque town, man. It is a gorgeous area, but man, it was a long drive. So we get up there, and the first show is at 6. We get there around 3. And this is going to be a fucking full disclosure podcast. I'm sick of just tiptoeing around shit. So Massachusetts we were literally 6 minutes away from the Massachusetts border. And marijuana is legal recreationally in Massachusetts. So I was like, fuck it. I'm going to a dispensary right now. I've never been. So we go to a dispensary, pick up a couple of pre-rolls. I'm excited, people. My first dispensary, first joints. Yes. I got something called Sapphire OG, and I got Bio Jesus. All I saw was high THC. I said, fuck it. I'm doing it. So I buy a couple pre-rolls. We head back to Rhode Island, where not completely legal, but it's decriminalized. I looked it all up. It's just a ticket. I'm like, I'm fine with that. So we go do the show. We get back. We get ready. We go do the show. Go to the shows. I'm sorry. And it's at a vineyard. Very nice place. Doug Key is there. He's the guy who puts it on. And as we're pulling up, I see my pal Joe List. If you haven't seen Joe List before, check him out. Netflix, YouTube. Very funny dude. And his wife, Sarah Talamash. You can check her out on YouTube as well. I think she has I don't know if she was on the Tonight Show, but she was on a late night show a while back, so check her out too. But so we get there, and I told Joe a couple of months ago, I was like, dude, we're doing Rhode Island, bring your glove, because he's a very Americana classic kind of guy. He loves sports, so am I. I like baseball, I love sports. So I was like, dude, let's throw the ball around. How can you beat, you can't beat the New England fall, the leaves are falling, shit's changing, you're throwing the baseball around. Very American. So we get the glove and balls out. We're throwing the ball around with Miss Meehan, Dan Bolger, another comic, and Alex. Doug Key is there. We're having a good time. What else happened that night? So the shows go well. It's kind of chilly. It's windy. That kind of sucks, but the shows go well. I will say after the first show, Joe had some friends there, and I hate when people do this. I hate when they want to rank comics after the show. Like, I got to meet his friends from high school, and they go, "Oh, Joe, you were the third best. Some other people were better than you." I'm like, this is fucking rude to do. I'm just saying. I was just like, Joe's funny. You think he wasn't the funniest person on the show? I was just like, he has a Netflix. He's makes a shit ton of money. He's been on TV several times. He's the funniest guy in the show, hands down. They're like, well, tonight wasn't his night. It's just like, this is so fucking rude to do to people. I was like, what if I came up to you and I was like, hey, man, she's prettier than you. You're the third prettiest out of your group. Well, that's different. No, it's not. It's still fucking rude. You go to comedy shows. You don't need to rank who you thought was better than who, especially in front of other comics, in front of all the comics. It's just a terribly rude thing to do. But so the shows went well. We hang out with Joe a little bit after the show. They got to get back to his parents' house. He's got a show in like Connecticut the next day or whatever. But so Saturday night, me and Alex, we're hanging out. We don't know what to do. We're like, fuck it. Oh, yeah. That's right. Bill Burr is hosting SNL. We have that realization. We go, well, we're going back to the hotel or Airbnb. We're going to order some Chinese food. I'm finally going to smoke this joint and watch Bill Burr. And that's what we did. I got some chicken and broccoli, cider rice, and I smoked the joint, people. And I had a fantastic fucking time. I giggled. I laughed. And eventually fell asleep. Second night, we got up. We had a nice walk on the beach. I'm trying to get the order right. Actually, you know what? I got up. I went for a run. That was cool. Came back. Alex is up. He was like, I want to go check out the beach. And I'm like, oh, it's actually right around the corner from here. So we get up. We drive down there. And it's just a walk. It's a sidewalk right along the side of the beach there. It's fucking beautiful. I'm so pissed because I ran on like a commercial road and I got to see some gas stations, a CVS. If I just would have made a left and went down the hill, I could have ran along the beach. It would have been fucking fantastic. But I know for next time, if I get to go back, I know where to go, right on Park Avenue and Portsmouth, get my run in. But we went up for a nice walk. We took some pictures. We talked about comedy. And we met Doug Key and my buddy Rob Green and a couple other people at this place called The Reef in downtown Newport. It was on the water. I had a nice lobster roll. After we did that, we walked around Newport, went to a jerky place, got some good jerky. We went back to the hotel, took a nap, and went to the shows that night. We had a great time, met a lot of cool comics. I got to close out a show for the night, which is a huge, huge accomplishment and a huge, what I want to call it? It's a feather in my cap, if you will. You know, you get to close out a show at a good festival. So I felt good about that. And I had to get up early the next day to head back home. So after our show, let me say, Alex did great. Joe List and Alex hit it off very well. It's like they fell in love. They were talking about Springsteen the night before. It was a great night. But Alex got to go up for the first time at a festival. He did great. Very proud of him. Seen him grow a lot as a comic. Huge moment for him as well. And he's super young. He's like 22, so he wanted to stay and drink and shit. So I was like, I'm going back to the Airbnb. I got to get up early and drive. So I go back. It just so happens it was game 6 of the final. So I watched a few minutes of that. LeBron was up by like almost 30. I go, they got it in the bag. They ended up winning. And I go to bed, get up the next morning. We drive back. And that was that trip. I had a great time. It was good to see the family. I missed them. And I got a day off Tuesday. Did some shit around the house, hung out with the family. And then Wednesday, had another gig, had to drive back up to Baltimore. My buddy Umar Khan has a great show out there at this place called Whitehall Mill. It's an old mill that they turn into it's a bunch of restaurants. There's some eateries. It's really, really nice. And we did an outdoor socially distanced show in the parking lot. like in between two of the buildings. And he brought Mark Norman down, and we had a hell of a show. We had a great time. My buddy Ross from DC showed up, Josh Coderna. We had good sets. I sold some shirts on the first show, but I didn't stay for the second show, because I just had to get back. It's like a 3-hour drive. It was going to be 2:00 in the morning if I stayed home for the entire show. But yeah, they wrapped the show up. I mean, Mark got off stage from what Umar told me. They jumped in the car. He got him back to the train station. He was back home, I want to say, around the same time I got back to Charlottesville. So thanks to Umar. Thanks to Doug Key. I had a great time. Tonight I'm in Leesburg at the Tally Ho Theater with some comic friends of mine. And this show is being put on by the DC Improv. And tomorrow I will be at RFK. I'm doing a drive-in show with two fucking legends. One is one of the best comics, if not the best comic in New York, according to other comics. One, Big J, but I'm super excited to say I'm getting to open for Dave Attell tomorrow night. I'm fucking ecstatic. I can't wait. This is a huge moment. I know he's a curmudgeon, but hey, I can't wait to meet him. I'm so excited. There's a show. That's a show. I'm out. Peace.